We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 510, 82 degrees here on this Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. And if you caught the tail end, and I was up against, actually we went a minute into the 5 o'clock hour, and I'm glad we did. You know, I think what Jeannie said needed to be heard. I'm not going to get her to agree with me, and I'm definitely not going to agree with her. So she wanted me to cite my source, saying what I'm saying is just untrue, that illegal immigrants do, in fact, collect Medicaid benefits. So here it is, pa.gov/services/DHS/apply-for-Medicaid-benefits. This is the official Pennsylvania website to apply for Medicaid. And if you scroll down, and listen, I put all this on my social media. It's on my Facebook right now. You could look at the site yourself, look at the validity of the site. And again, on this page, overview of Medicaid and PSA and PA. Apply online using the Compass system. General eligibility requirements for Medicaid. Income limits for specific eligibility groups. Medicaid for children with special needs. Application process. Apply for Medicaid. Frequently asked questions about Medicaid. And contact. That's the drop-down menu on the side here. So I put it all on my social media so you could click on the link and see for yourself. But Jeannie says she works in healthcare and she knows undocumented immigrants don't qualify for Medicaid or health benefits. But when it came to CHIP and illegal immigrants, well, they're children. They're a separate entity. And I'm not saying cover or don't cover children, but illegal immigrant children are collecting Medicaid under CHIP. Simple as that. Refugees are collecting Medicaid under the program. And here's direct from the website. I will read verbatim the quote. Your citizenship. Now, this is the criteria. It goes your Social Security number, your PA residency, your citizenship. Medicaid is available to United States citizens, refugees, and lawfully admitted non-citizens. Here you go. Other non-citizens may be eligible for limited medical assistance benefits if an emergency medical condition exists. U.S. citizens, refugees, and lawfully admitted non-citizens may need to submit documentation providing U.S. citizenship or lawful non-citizen status if their citizenship can't be verified through electronic sources. So, yes, emergency services are covered by Medicaid. CHIP covers illegal immigrant children. And under the Biden administration's expansion of temporary status and refugee status, which has now been revoked, they were covered under Medicaid. So has that been revoked by Medicaid yet? Because they are pushing back on this administration on letting the Medicaid rolls be reviewed. So don't say that illegal immigrants are not collecting Medicaid benefits. They are. And if your hospital conglomerate is so dependent on illegal immigrants gaining Medicaid in those payments, able-bodied adults that collect it that should be doing other things now, or people who no longer qualify under the law, because that's what's going to determine who gets Medicaid and who doesn't. Like she asked, the law dictates exactly who. If you're an able-bodied adult, you don't have children, you don't have a disability, you have to either do voluntary work or work a certain amount of hours a month. If you no longer qualified under the expanded definition that Medicaid used during the COVID that should no longer exist, well, yes, you will not get it. You have to ask yourself, why are these state entities, these hospitals, so dependent on this demographic who's getting it? But remember, they are not getting it. But as per the pa.gov/services/DHS/apply-for-Medicaid-benefits website, which I have put a link to on my social media, they do, in fact, just what I said. They get it via chip. They get it via emergency services, and we all know how the emergency rooms are abused for regular routine medical care, but it's covered. They are covered under Medicaid. And people under the last administration who had that temporary refugee status or that lawful, you remember they were giving it to everybody that's now been revoked, thankfully, well, they should no longer be getting Medicaid. Simple as that. So there's the site. I put the link on my website so you guys can go look for yourself. But remember, somebody who works in healthcare said it's not true. I guess the Pennsylvania.gov website for Medicaid is lying to you. Apply for Medicaid benefits, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, helping Pennsylvanians access high-quality healthcare and supportive services to live an enriching, proactive life. I'm also getting text messages from people who also work in healthcare who are saying they do indeed get covered by Medicaid. So make your your own decision, and there it is. But to say it's not true, well, okay. If you want to say, well, it is true, but the hospitals depend on those payments to survive, okay, well, then have that argument. Simple as that. So where were we in the day? Oh, Jake is going to get mad at me. So we're supposed to talk about the NFL power rankings as preseason nears. Who are the Eagles' main threats? Well, the Eagles are listed as number one. The offense returns virtually intact. Former coordinator and new Saints head coach, Kellen Moore, notable exception. Yep. Vic Fangio is back for a second year running the defense, though that unit will need to adapt from significant losses of free agencies. Last year's club was one of the very best in the past quarter century and seems to have an excellent shot at repeating, especially when you consider proven NFL players like running back A.G. Dillon, cornerback Jackson, outside linebacker, and a bunch of other players that are returning. So Philadelphia Eagles in this power ranking, and this is coming from USA Today, is listed at number one. Baltimore Ravens, they list at number two. What do you think about that, Jake?
I mean, I would definitely put Baltimore in the top five. I think that they're definitely one of the best teams that are out there. I think they have one of the best coaches in John Harbaugh. It's just my biggest concern has always been with the quarterback when it comes to Lamar Jackson. Lamar's numbers have never really been all that spectacular. His performance has never really been all that spectacular in the playoffs, especially. I believe he has three playoff wins to his name. So I think Baltimore, like I was saying, I think the talent is definitely there. Two, I'm not sure if I would put them at two, but definitely in the top five, though.
Well, they were ranked at two via this last year, and they're ranked at two again this year. Now, Kansas City was bumped up to three on this list. They were number four last year.
That's interesting, especially since they were coming off of back-to-back Super Bowls. I mean, I know the 2023 championship, I know that they had sort of sputtered a little bit during the regular season, caught fire, you know, obviously during the playoffs when it mattered, but the 2024 Chiefs, there was just something weird about them. Like, they really didn't look all that good. I mean, I think there was maybe one time all of last year that they scored at least 30 points in a game. And it seemed like some of those deficiencies that they had when it came to the Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes wasn't even blitzed once. I mean, it was just a complete annihilation. So, I mean, I can never count them out as long as he's there, as long as Andy Reid is there. I think that they are definitely worthy of being in the top three, mainly because of those two guys.
All right, so let's see. Number four, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, Buffalo, that's the thing. I mean, I think when I look at the AFC, I mean, you could definitely consider those as the big three. And I mean, it all rests on Josh Allen, obviously the defending MVP of the league. The biggest thing with Josh Allen, like we've talked about so many times before, they're spectacular in the regular season. He finds a way to beat Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And October, November, December, but obviously come January, that's where they seem to hit a roadblock, whether it's the divisional round, whether it's the AFC championship. So I think that some, obviously there's some things that he and Sean McDermott need to work on, and I hope, you know, I've always liked Buffalo, so I mean, maybe this could be their year they get to the Super Bowl. I would love to see them win a Super Bowl after the four straight heartbreaks that they had in the early 90s. So definitely, definitely top five. I would honestly put them ahead of Baltimore if it was up to me.
All right. Los Angeles Rams, number five.
Yeah, I think the Rams, I think that they're, I would say, top 10. I think Sean McVay is one of the most bright minds that there is in the National Football League. I've always respected him. I've always respected his coaching. You know, the thing with the Rams is obviously they've gone through a couple changes over the past couple of years. Matt Stafford, their quarterback, Matt's 36 going on 37, I believe. I mean, he still has been able to perform. It's just obviously at his age, you wonder how much longer does he have. Obviously, if there's some sort of injury that happens along the line, you know, I think that's really my only concerns that I have with the Rams. But I think that they're definitely in my top 10 and definitely expect them to make the playoffs this year.
All right, next after that, Los Angeles Rams, Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay.
Number six. They were eight last year, so they've moved up a bit.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing with Green Bay. Green Bay has a really, really tough schedule this year. And obviously that division, the NFC North, I feel like that's arguably the best division in football right now. You have the Detroit Lions. Everyone knows how much I love Dan Campbell. You have the Minnesota Vikings. Everyone knows how much I love Kevin O'Connell. I know that Ben Johnson went to Chicago. With Green Bay, I don't know if – I'm thinking six might be a little too high of a ranking for them. I think that they're playoff worthy. I think Matt LaFleur is a great coach. I just, again, I feel like they got a little too wrapped up in the whole trying to get the whole tush push banned. And that's why, honestly, I don't know. I really don't know what kind of vibe I have with Green Bay this year. Either they'll either be a wild card team or just barely miss out. That's sort of where I stand on them.
Our Washington Commanders.
Yeah.
Next, number seven.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully no sophomore jinx for Jaden Daniels. I think the future is definitely bright in Washington. I mean, look at what they were able to do last year. Obviously, the thing is, last place schedule last year. Obviously, it's going to be a tougher schedule this year. But I think they're definitely going to be in the mix. I've been saying for a while now, I think week 18 next year, when they have to travel to Philadelphia, it's one of those scenarios where I see winner possibly getting home field advantage, loser being the five seed, almost kind of like you saw what happened week 18 last year with Detroit and Minnesota.
All right, let's round it out now because we're running out of time here. Eight Denver Broncos.
Okay.
Nine Detroit Lions.
Yeah, Detroit. I think Detroit's going to be good, but I think they're also taking a little bit of a step back this year with obviously losing both their coordinators. Aaron Glenn is now with the Jets. Ben Johnson, he's in the division now with Chicago, so we'll see what happens with them, but I think they'll still be NFC North champs.
All right, number 10, up from number 16, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Way too high.
This is if the Aaron Rodgers era lasts 8 months this season, it could be the Sterling Silver Stairway to Seven. If Aaron Rodgers era lasts 7 months this season, will last a slag pile that could land some folks on the scrap heap.
Can only hope and pray.
And you and Kelly could fight this one out. Up from 14, number 11, San Francisco 49ers.
They should be higher than that. I think San Francisco is going to bounce back this year. I mean, they have the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. I've always been a big believer in Kyle Shanahan. I've always been a big believer in Brock Purdy. The key is Christian McCaffrey needs to stay healthy. I mean, the biggest change of all, of course, I mean, I know Debo Samuel was traded. I know Brandon Ayuk is coming off of the ACL. But I think that they are going to be very, very strong this year. I have them at 12-5, and they've got a bit of an incentive this year, too, because the Super Bowl is being played at their stadium in Santa Clara, February 8th.
All right, so number 12, the Arizona Cardinals. 13, the Houston Texans. 14, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I'd put them
a little
higher.
They need to be higher.
15, and Tampa Bay was at 9 last year. They're at 14 this year. Yeah. 15, Los Angeles Chargers. 16, Seattle Seahawks.
I'm not sure about
17,
Seattle.
The Vikings. 18, the Bengals. And 19, the New England Patriots.
Hey.
Vikings and Bengals, I would put them a little higher, and I've been saying it from day one. The moment that the new New England Patriots hired Mike Vrabel, I have them back in the playoffs.
I have them. I also have them back at the playoffs, Jake. How about that?
Who do you think's last? 32.
Who's the worst team in the league? Go ahead, Jake.
Honestly, just with all the uncertainty at quarterback, I'm going to have to say New Orleans Saints.
You hit it right on the head.
Yeah,
they were 32 last year. They're 32 this year, New Orleans Saints. 31, Cleveland Browns. 30th, the Colts. 29, the New York Giants. 28, the Tennessee Titans. 27, Miami Dolphins. 26, the Raiders. 25, the Panthers. Falcons are at 24. New York Jets at 23. Jacksonville 22, Dallas Cowboys at 21, and the Chicago Bears at 20. So that rounds out the entire NFL list.
I agree. So, I agree with most of it.
Yeah, I was going to say Chicago. I'm still not buying the hype.
I'm not either.
Dallas Cowboys, I mean, Brian Schottenheimer, I've always felt like he's more of a coordinator instead of a head coach. And, of course, Dak Prescott coming off of the major injury that he had last year. So,
and he's not that good anyway.
You know, we're just going to have to wait and see. And finally,
so the top three, the Eagles, the Baltimore Ravens, and Kansas City Chiefs. So
Baltimore's
we'll see what happens.
A little too high.
Yeah, I think Baltimore's too high, too. They're gonna fizzle out.
All right, well, we'll see. And that's the USA Today poll on the top NFL teams projected for this season. It is 525 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together.
Well, thanks, Rob. A couple of things that I'd like to update you on as far as 81 north and southbound. No more standstill traffic as far as I can see, but I can still see some delays as people are a little sluggish as things are finally getting back up into normal. So that's going to affect you across the Scranton Expressway and over in the South Abington area where they were doing some road work earlier. Now, people were trying to get off of 81 north and southbound because it is still not that great, and they've been using Burney Avenue. I'm seeing a rise in volumes over there. You can still use it. I'm not saying don't, but I'm telling you that it's going to be a little bit slow. And the same thing over in Laughlin. There's an accident on 315 as a result of the heightened traffic volumes there.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So keep that in mind. Those are just the traffic delays that I would be aware of. Besides that, you should be good to go. If you see a traffic problem, feel free to tell us on the Jam Line, 570-883-7269. We'd love to hear from you. And I'm EJ Samuel in the WILK Traffic Center with this Pentella Data Internet traffic update.
Thank you, EJ. Here's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast from Chief Meteorologist Kurt Aaron. Tonight, warm and humid. Showers are possible. Low of 68. Tomorrow, scattered showers and storms. High of 78. Down at night, it's going to be 58 tomorrow. Friday, morning clouds, breezy and clearing in the afternoon. A high of 76. Saturday and Sunday, sunny and less humid. 82 on Saturday, 85 on Sunday. It's currently 82 degrees now at 527 at your official weather station, WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 5:35, 82 degrees here on this Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. So a lot of text messages on both sides of the aisle as far as illegal immigrants qualifying for some types of Medicaid and who get it, who doesn't get it. Now, the argument was that they said illegal immigrants or people of undocumented status do not get Medicaid. And that's just simply not the case. There are sections that do. And I explain them. They get emergency Medicaid. They get CHIP for the children of illegal immigrants who are illegal immigrants. And those that were under the expanded definition of refugee and temporary status got Medicaid under the Biden administration. So that was the argument. The argument was they do not get it, and they do in fact get it. As far as what to do about people who are undocumented here and they go to the emergency room for care, or children who are undocumented themselves and need medical care, that's a different conversation. And if you're going to say, okay, well, Medicaid is an insolvent program. What did they say, 12, 13 years? It's not going to have the money to exist anymore, at least in the capacity it does now. All right, where do we think our healthcare systems are going to be then, if that's what you're worried about, cuts now? Of a lot of waste, fraud, mismanagement. There was, a matter of fact, just today, there was another arrest in Minnesota of a Medicaid fraud. Billions of dollars again. Now, we've talked about this a couple of times. Does this solve the entire problem? No, it doesn't. But listen, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to me if you're telling me you don't know someone who's on Medicaid right now that is capable of having their own health insurance somewhere else. I read the stats yesterday of people double dipping in different states. And again, it doesn't benefit them personally, but it does benefit the states where they're in Medicaid on two different state rolls. Well, each state gets their cut of federal Medicaid reimbursement for those people on their rolls. So the fact that they're looking into that and trying to streamline that and make sure you're only on one state's rolls. People who are on Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act rolls. Well, our tax dollars are already supplementing the Affordable Care Act, and we're supplementing Medicaid. So again, if you're getting in, if you're assigned to both and the federal government is sending money to both, yes, that's a burden on the taxpayer. The point is to save the system for the people who need it. I'm not saying there's not people who need it. I'm not saying Medicaid or Medicare should not exist. It absolutely should exist, but for the people it was meant to be for. Not able-bodied, not people who've become accustomed to it. And listen, you're lying to yourself, and I'll get back to the original story, if you're saying you don't know somebody who's capable and getting these benefits themselves. And it's the same thing as unemployment. It's the same thing as workman's compensation. There's a whole lot of fraud, waste, and abuse that's going on. Is illegal immigrants on Medicaid the entire problem? It's going to solve it if we get everybody off? No. But again, by law, they should not be getting it. Well, then we make exceptions. Well, they get emergency care under Medicaid. And I understand the law is that hospitals cannot turn away patients. And that's why they charge everybody more money to make up for that difference, right? That's why when I get charged for an MRI and the bill is $4,500, but my insurance company says, well, we're going to pay you $600. And the hospital says, okay, well, why don't you just charge me $600? Maybe I wouldn't have to pay thousands of dollars for my own health care. I could just pay out of pocket for when I need medical care. And I understand, yes, if an emergency happens and you have tens of thousands of dollars of bills, what happens to you there? That's why I think we should have health insurance. That's why I paid arm and leg for health insurance for my family. But you can't keep changing the goalposts for the argument. The argument was illegal immigrants don't get Medicaid, and you keep saying these lies. And then I gave you circumstances where they do, in fact, do. And then it's, well, what are we supposed to do? Oh, all right, well, that's a different argument. And we can have that conversation. What do we do? But making an incentive for people to come here for free health care, free housing, free meals, because that's what was done. New York City didn't spend billions of dollars in housing and meal plans and health care for nothing. Because people came here for that beacon of free. And if we cut off all the free stuff, it would slow that. Now, thankfully, we have a secure border now. Now, let's look at our roles. Let's make sure that Medicaid and Medicare is there for the people that deserve it, that need it, that should be legally getting it under the law. Now, if the question is, how are these rural hospitals, how are hospitals here in Scranton going to survive if they're not billing Medicaid for illegal immigrants? Well, I don't know what to tell you then. The entire system needs to be looked at. You know, Geisinger was mentioned there. Well, Geisinger's opening facility after facility. They're a nonprofit too, right? And they have to spend that money each and every day. You're losing money? I don't know that. If you are, well, then let's open up the books to everyone and see what's really happening. Because the model is not working then, isn't it? And the whole scare tactic, which rural hospitals are going to collapse because of what they're doing with Medicaid. No one's looking to take Medicaid away from anyone who by the law deserves it or should be receiving it. It's the expansions, like I said, emergency care for illegal immigrants. Those that were expanded, that's why they gave tens of thousands of refugee status and temporary legal status to all these people, because they could get these benefits. These systems are abused. And we're finding cases each and every day, like I said, another one today, of the fraud and mismanagement. It's not the people only. It's the hospitals, it's the doctors, it's the medical providers. There's a whole lot of wrong out there that needs to be looked at. But someone needs to look at it. So again, also don't morph the argument to fit your agenda. The rebuttal, the phone call's purpose was, Rob, why are you lying to people saying illegal immigrants get Medicaid? They don't. Well, they do. Well, okay, how are hospitals supposed to survive if they don't? Different argument, different conversation that we can have. It's 542 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 546, 82 degrees as we start to wind things down on this Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. I'm getting text messages from people in the education community, people in the welfare offices, and in hospitals, based on the conversation that started earlier. Well, here's a couple of things. We know our school districts cannot ask for the citizenship status of children looking to get an education, nor should they. Listen, kids are here. They should get an education until we figure out what we're going to do as a nation when it comes to undocumented people here. And that being said, if that child who may or may not be undocumented or illegal or is, if they require a PCA, a personal care aide, that gets reimbursed from Medicaid if that child's undocumented or not. And again, our schools cannot, by law, request the citizenship status of children looking for an education. They have to admit that child. Well, if that child has a plan, an IEP or 504 that has a PCA, a personal care aide, that school district gets reimbursed by Medicaid for the personal care aide for that student who may or may not be undocumented or illegal immigrant. That being said, I have someone else from the welfare office. Trust me, I work at the welfare office, and the hospital will send in an application each and every time they go to an emergency room, and the bill will be paid. That's undocumented immigrants going to the emergency room for emergency Medicaid medical care. As a matter of fact, I've worked at the welfare office for 3 years, and this is the busiest 3 weeks I've ever had with illegals and undocumented. I can't verify the text message, but both of these that I'm getting via text message on the personal care aides. Now, I know Medicaid does, in fact, reimburse personal care aides if an IEP dictates that a personal care aide is needed. And again, our school districts by law do not check the citizenship status of students. So, yes, Medicaid is paying for the personal care aide or reimbursing a school district for the personal care aide for that individual. Again, more of the original argument, which is if they shouldn't be collecting this stuff by law, then let's make sure they don't. And let's make sure this system is solvent for the people who it's designed for and needs. How hospitals survive, how we deal with children who are undocumented who need medical care, that's a different story. That's a different argument. That's a different conversation. I said earlier today that Governor Josh Shapiro was all over social media, and this is coming from 12 o'clock. He says, protecting our history is about telling the truth, even when it's uncomfortable, because if we don't reckon with the reality of our past, we can't learn from it and move forward. The fight for freedom has defined the American story for centuries. Trying to rewrite that history is impossible, and it goes against the very values this nation stands for. And he's talking about the history of slavery in Philadelphia. But for his protecting history is about telling the truth, even when it's uncomfortable, I responded to him. So we should expect you to address your administration's sexual harassment settlements? Great. That should be about transparency, even when it's uncomfortable, right? But he's we get nothing there. So we'll keep up on that. You know, somebody else coming in about you know, free breakfasts and lunch at schools. Listen, if a child's going to school, undocumented or not, and again, it's a different argument, they should be fed. And if you're mandated to be anywhere, and this goes for anything, if you're mandated to be in school for 8 o'clock in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, and I know that's the more traditional times. I know there's different times now. Why do we have paid and unpaid lunch, food? It should be included in the school. That's a whole nother entity for manipulation, school board control, and everything like that. Again, another conversation, but I, you know, in no way do I think that that anyone should be not denied food. And again, I think we need to do something about illegal immigration as a whole. And the people are here who aren't a burden on our systems, who aren't don't have criminal records and want to be part of society in America to live that dream. We need to do better on getting a pathway to them or doing something to where there's some sort of fine, there's some sort of process. Because you came here illegally, you can never become a citizen, but you will have legal status. And I'm going to stick by that. And I know a lot of people disagree with that. And I get a lot of flack from even people on my side of the aisle. No, Rob, they're here illegally. They all have to go. That's unrealistic, and it's never going to happen. So let's focus on the threats that are here illegally. Let's get rid of the people who manipulated the system over the past 5 years who came in here because they saw the gate was open. But people who were here before that, people who have lived here and integrated into our communities and become a part of the fabric of our communities, even if they're not here legally, we need to come up with some sort of plan, some sort of program. And again, the punishment would be you can never become a U.S. citizen. You will have to pay some sort of fine or something that needs to be designed to say there's some sort of repercussion for doing what you did illegally. But you're here. And from this point forward, you don't have to worry about that any further. Now that we have a secure border, now that it looks like we've taken care of that issue. And again, the people who do break our laws, the people who are abusing our systems, they go. They're out. You came here under the last 5 years, I'm sorry. You go. Get to the back of the line. If you do it on your own, if you don't, you can't come back. Hopefully we have enough time to do something like that. But now that the border is secure, I think a very real conversation needs to be had on what do we do with the people who are here, who aren't a burden on our system and aren't a violent threat. That needs to happen. We need to open up legal immigration to a greater scale. And I take a lot of flack for saying that, and I don't care. It's just the right thing to do, and it needs to be done. As far as the free-for-all that we've dealt with, that's just way over the top, and that line needs to be drawn. And that's not for me to draw that line. It's not for you to draw that line. It's supposed to be for our elected officials to sit down and do the hard work. That's why we elected them. That's why they do so well. You know, it's interesting. Elizabeth Warren posted something on social media today talking about the average salary of a CEO and the average salary of a worker. And went back to the tax the rich theme. As a matter of fact, she even said that after it. All right, let's talk about your net worth as an elected member of Congress and the net worth of the average net worth of your constituent. Let's talk about that difference, but you shall never talk about that because they're multimillionaires and their constituents aren't, most of us anyway. So we'll see. I'm trying to catch up on the text messages here. They are flying in. Hall of Fame game already tomorrow night, Jake. Hall of Fame's tomorrow night. Yep. He's nodding his house head. Yes. So, we'll see there. So that's, you know, there's some other stories here. Oh, one of the other things before we go, I got about 2 minutes here, that New York City gunman who got into that Park Avenue building, we're finding out more about that. And a lot of it's stuff we already knew, but, I saw this story as addition when he got up to the 33rd or 32nd floor. He got off the wrong floor. He killed the one young woman who was the Cornell grad, 27 years old. He also saw a maid up there, a housekeeper, or a, what do they call it? Cleaner, corporate cleaner. Let's say it the right way, a corporate cleaner that was there after business hours to clean the offices. And he took shots at her and missed. And she ran around the corner and down the hall. Took more shots at her as she was fleeing for her life. She ended up turning left and he went right. And because of the maze that that floor was, lost a track of her. And she ended up surviving. And it just goes to show that fight for survival. Here's someone who was there after hours cleaning, doing their job as a corporate cleaner, cleaning the offices, emptying the garbage, and doing the things, vacuuming the floors that they do. Came face to face with a gunman. took shots at her and missed. She fled and did not give up and kept fleeing. And thankfully, he lost sight of her, and then she was able to go one way, and he pursued another way. And she ended up surviving. And it's just a story of sheer terror, the fact that she was unscathed through that carnage and faced imminent death and came out on top. Was just a story I wanted to add to kind of a story of survival for this whole tragedy that took place in New York. It's 5:56 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show today on this Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. It is past hump day now. It's all downhill from here. We made it this far. We'll make it the rest of the week. Don't worry about it. It's funny, too, there was one texter decided through that whole conversation to just start calling me names. It just shows how intelligent you are and the type of non-argument you have. Again, and I love when people call and disagree with me. From the title of the thing, I figured it was going to be a disagreement. But don't say it just doesn't happen, and then I give you occasions that it does happen, and you change the goalpost, you change the story. And we need to fix why these things happen. And if that's what the fear is, well, I don't know what to tell you. But I appreciate it. And it was a respectful conversation. And that's the way it's supposed to be. 6 o'clock here. God bless. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.